where the next level where you're getting ready to go, amen. And those that are watching us, that are have continued to watch us every Sunday morning, we thank you for your support. We thank you for your encouragement on this morning, amen, amen, amen. As we get ready to go before the Lord in prayer, we are praying for Vanita Holloway from Atlanta, Georgia. We are praying for you this morning. We're praying for Keita in the great state of Florida. We love you and we're praying for you this morning. Teresa Coleman in Atlanta, Georgia, we are praying for you this morning. The Moultrie family of the four-year-old that lost his life tragedy in Chicago, Illinois, we're praying for his family on this morning, amen. We are continuing praying for the Fletcher family. We also continue to pray for the Brown family and those that are in the need of prayer. And we didn't call your name on this morning. We're touching and agreeing with you on this morning that whatever you stand in the need of this morning, that God has already answered your prayers, that we're in touching and agreement on this morning. Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we come. God, we come before you with praise upon our lips and praise upon our hearts, oh God. God, we just want to thank you and praise you, oh God, for what you have done in our lives, oh God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, forgive us for all our sins, oh God. God, we put everything, oh God, that's not like you before you, oh God. Take it away right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. God, we just pray for those that are watching in this hour, oh God. God, I just ask you to speak to their situations right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. God, we just touch and agree, oh God. God, whatever they need, oh God, it's already done, oh God. God, we pray for those that are in this assembly right now. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we stand and agree, oh God, for whatever request that they have before you, oh God, that is already done right now. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we speak victory, oh God, over everyone, oh God, that feels defeated on today. God, we speak victory, oh God, for those that feel that they're not worthy, oh God, to come before you, oh God. God, we just speak life, oh God, to their situations right now. In the name of Jesus, oh God. God, bless the man of God that's going to bring the word on this hour right now. In the name of Jesus, oh God, continue to crown him with wisdom and knowledge of your word, oh God. Continue to give him the words to give to your people, oh God, to be a light, oh God, to those that be in darkness right now. In the name of Jesus, oh God. And God, as we sit in this assembly, oh God, we're going to praise you, oh God, with our lips. We're going to praise you with our hands, oh God. We're going to praise you no matter what state that we're in, oh God. We're going to continue to praise you, oh God. And God, we just thank you and we praise you. We thank you that the enemy is defeated right now. In the name of Jesus, devil, you are under our feet right now. In the name of Jesus, you have no part in our life right now. Lord, we just declare and decree on today, oh God, that promotions will go out as far as the east and from the west, oh God, from the north to the south, oh God. God, we just thank you for greatness that you have called us to be, oh God. God, help us, oh God. God, to sit at amen. Now we're going to have Sister Taphany Lanier to come up, amen, and give us our exhortation, amen.
Talk to you from, we're going to go to John 4 and 14. I'm not going to wait for you to get there. I'm just going to go on and tell you what it say. Whoever drinks the water I give him, God is speaking, whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Guys, just as we go for periods without natural water, we can't do that. We can't go through periods of life without natural water. Your body dehydrates, you go through all of this, could wind up to death. We shouldn't be able to go through long periods without Jesus. We should not be able to go through long periods without the word, the water of Jesus flowing through us in a daily prayer, in a daily scripture. Just whatever it is, you should go before God and have him in your life at all times. There should never be a time that you should be able to go without having some type of acknowledgement to Jesus. Prayer and Jesus is just like a pre-workout supplement. We need to pray and have a relationship with God prior to our trials, our struggles, our heartbreaks, and whatever else that we face in life. When we make Jesus a part of our life, we seek grace and mercy. It's already done, as April said. It's already done. When we seek forgiveness, boom, it's already done. When we seek, it's already done because of our relationship. We get into a pre-workout, we're drinking because we're ready to go ahead and work out. You ought to have a pre-workout with God so that when you get ready to go into the battlefield, boom, it's already done. Boom, God has already answered the prayers. Every day that we open our eyes is a day to seek him, a new day for new mercies. To start fresh, no matter how old or young we are, it's never too late. We can always have a relationship. You don't have to wait till you get my age, kids, to have a relationship with God. You can start right now with your relationship. You can get up and have a prayer every morning. You can have a scripture on your hearts every morning. I'm talking to my babies now, because now is the time. We're in a time where our children, the Bible tells us that we should train up a child. Now is the time. We should be training up our kids to let them have a scripture every week that they wake up every morning. Because guess what? They are seeing trials and tribulations that we know nothing about. They're going through things in their life that we didn't have to endure. So we got to put them on the battlefield, but we got to give them a pre-workout before we send them out there. So y'all, every day, you should have a scripture. You should have a prayer. Before my child get out the car every morning, I'm praying. That was an incident that happened. And I went and got her from school, and I bought her here, and I didn't even think nothing else about it. When I took her back to school the next day, it was over. It was just like it would never happen. Jesus. You have to cover your children, but they have to learn how to cover themselves. You teach your children how to go into the battlefield already prepared for what is about to happen. Now, as Bishop comes and he's ready to give us a nice, refreshing drink of Jesus, just pray that we be ready.
Tragedies are commonplace. All kinds of diseases, people are slipping away. Economy's down, can't get enough pay. But as for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. It could have been me outdoors with no food, no clothes, all alone, without a friend, or just another number with a tragic end. But oh, you didn't see fit, Lord, to let these things be. You've been my Father. Keep on keeping me. I want to say thank you, Lord. Can you say thank you, Lord? Can you say thank you, Lord? Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Hallelujah. Come on and clap your hands. It could have been me. I got a roof over my head, but outdoors. I was able to feed my family. I was able to have the right functioning of mine, but it could have been me. Outdoors, no food, no clothes, all alone. Oh, you know what? I could have had a toe tag on, which means just another number with a tragic end. But oh, you didn't see fit, God, to let these things be. You've been my Father, and keep on keeping me. I want to say thank you, Lord. Come on, somebody help me. Thank you, Lord. If you're tuning in this morning, just lift up holy hands and cry out, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Hallelujah. Come on and put your hands together. That's right. If you don't mind, let's just stand and let's just worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship assembly this morning here at Nations Harvest Church Assemblies. This is our Sunday morning service. I don't hear any noise. I don't hear any noise. This is Sunday service. Hallelujah. Can I keep it real right here? It took some wild Friday nights in my life to get to Sunday morning service. It took some Saturday nights where I was stoned out of my mind to make it to Sunday morning. I don't know what you come up through in your life, but the Lord have brought me through some things. And when I look back to where the Lord have brought me from to get me right here this morning, my soul starts to shout out, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. Hallelujah. Give me just a little bit in my monitors back there, sweetheart. God bless you. I say good morning to all of those that are in the assembly. Also, I welcome all of those that are joining us here by way of our live stream. It's always such a blessing. It's a pleasure and it's an honor to be with you here and far. So many friends and so many people that join us here on Sunday mornings. Now, I want to begin by saying this. Last Sunday, you know, we streamed last Sunday. We give our building a break. It's almost like every 7 years, in the Bible days, they would give the land a chance to replenish. So as we sanitized last Sunday and we continue to exercise all things that leads to a good healthy environment, amen. We practice our social distancing and we wear our mask and we don't congregate out in the lobby. We proceed on. But last Sunday, we give the entire facility a break. We sanitize and so forth so that when you decide to come, it's safe. So anyway, we were not here last Sunday, but the Sunday before, I encouraged anyone that was ever in our area to pull up on us. And that what y'all say, just pull up, right? So we told them, just pull up. That's what you do. So, you know, I'm home and I'm in my meditation and I'm preparing to get the restream. And as I'm getting ready to do this, I'm there in my bedroom just ready to call it a day the night before. And here comes to my bedroom faces from Lakeland, Florida. Keita Maxwell and Chris Johnson. They pulled up on me. They just pulled up on me. They come 10 hours. I guess that makes it about 600 miles. And they pulled up on us for Sunday service. Now, they didn't know that we were not going to be live last Sunday, and that was so disappointing. But they pulled up on us, and I told them I was going to talk about them this morning. So I'm going to challenge you, Keita Maxwell and Chris Johnson, pull up on us again. If you're in Cleveland, pull up on us. Now, at the same time, someone thought that we were not on the air because I was on my way to Cleveland, Ohio. I don't know what was going on last Sunday. But somebody say they checked in Cleveland and say, hey, check, I think he may be on his way up here. That's why he's not lying. So to you in Cleveland that thought I was in Cleveland, pull up on us. Yeah, get 71, take 71 and come on down here, 71 South, and then get 75, and then get 65, and that'll put you right off at exit 334, and you'll be right here at 495 Highway 67 South. Come on and clap your hands again, and let's just bless God for all of the wonderful things that he has done. Hallelujah. Let's just have a little praise, clap our hands, and amen, and let's just sing for a bit, and then we're going to get a word, I believe, that's going to bless you this morning. I believe that God have a word for you. Go ahead and just tell the Lord, Lord, I know you got something coming my way right now. Tell God you need a word. Oh, come on, tell the Lord, Lord, I need a word. I need a word for my situation. I need a word for my circumstance. I need a word from heaven, hallelujah, to get me through. God is a good God. I say God is a good God. I say God is a good God. You know God is a good God. He's a real good God. He's a real good God. I say God is a good God. I can't hear you. God is a good God.
Form, the pages, the covering, or you take your more contemporary devices electronically. However, you will find in your Bibles a gate that is called the Beautiful Gate, which was one of the gates that belonged to the temple in Jerusalem in Jerusalem prior to the destruction by the Romans in AD 70. There was in Jerusalem a gate that was called the Beautiful Gate. It was referred to as beautiful in chapter number 3 of the book of Acts. There you will find a gate that is called Beautiful in the book of Acts, chapter 3. According to the Acts narrative, it is said that there was a habitual beggar that sat at that gate that is called Beautiful. A habitual beggar was there daily with a hereditary disability. And according to Acts, the beggar sought out alms. He sought out charity from everyone who were entering into the temple. So now I'd like to read just a few verses from the book of Acts, beginning at verse number 1 in Acts chapter 3, and it is written, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said unto the beggar, Look on us. And the beggar gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. The beggar looked on them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all of the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they said, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which was happened unto him. Verse number 5 says, he looked at them expecting to receive something. I want you to look across at someone at a distance. And I want you to say these words, and they may have to read your lips because they can't hear you. But I want you to tell them the preacher is about to preach how God deals with your expectations. I think you might ought to say that again. I don't think that they. I think you need to mouth that to somebody else. How God is about to deal with your expectations. Now find you somebody else good to look at and tell them God is going to exceed your expectations. Oh, go ahead and show out with it. Tell somebody God's about to blow your mind. As a matter of fact, I feel it safe to say right now, Eddie, that somebody in here, their expectations is beneath what God has available for them. Hallelujah. I don't think everybody heard me. I think your expectations are beneath what God has available. So now, as we engage this, as we engage this text with a sense of seriousness, and as we conceptualize the writing that is given to us in the text, we acknowledge the scholars that have brought about this text in an attempt to identify this gate that is in the text. And it is recognized simply as a gate that is called beautiful. They have had little to no success at all finding the actual name of this gate. So thus, they are only left with calling it the gate that is beautiful. Now, some of Jerusalem's gates could be good candidates for what the actual name of this gate is. Historically, this gate could be called the gate that is known as Nicanor in the Greek. And whenever I introduce to you a Greek word, it's good for you to kind of embrace it in a way, because biblical Greek represents one of the most valuable skills that a person can develop in studying the scriptures. Because the Greek connects you to the original text that was written. So when I introduce it, I'm not trying to flex any intellectual muscles, but I'm actually attempting to give you some details that will help you to better understand the text. So the Greek name that would be a good candidate for this gate that is called beautiful, one is called the Nicanor, possibly. Or another possibility is another Greek name for a gate that is called Shushan. But both of these are only possibilities. But one thing we have, in fact, is that they have given to us not a proper name, but they have given to us what is called, what is considered an adjective. Because beautiful is not a proper name. Beautiful is an adjective. In both the Greek and the same in English, the Greek name for beautiful would be hore. Hore. If it's called beautiful, it would be in the Greek hore, and hore or horios would be an adjective that means something happening at the right time. So it's described as a place where something can happen at the right time. As opposed to being a proper name, as I said earlier, as the Nicanor or the Shushan, it is an adjective that says at the right time, horios. It also suggests in the Greek, not only at the right time, but it says at the right hour, meaning that it is in a timely season. So some scholars believe that the word may also refer to ripeness or beauty. Now, I want to bring all of this in and introduce this to you as a to premise this this message today, because we must be able to identify what God is doing not only in the person, but what's surrounding the person. It's rather important to me, because it's strange sometimes how we can sit in any specific place at any specific time and wait on God. And we feel like we're in the right time and the right place, but nothing seems to happen. We sit there sometime for days. Some of us sit there for weeks. Some of us have been in the same place for years, and nothing seems to happen. So I think this is all significant to this message, to give some serious consideration to this gate that is called beautiful, and to also make a part of it the Greek text, because if we apply the Greek text, it says that this man that was a beggar was in the right place at the right time, at the right season. It's almost like a message that we got a few weeks ago. He had the right soil, the right seed, and the right sower, because he's at the right place at the right time in the right season. This is where I want to explore using the scripture. Is the gate beautiful because it is the gateway to the temple? Is it the right place because it is a gateway that leads into the temple that is so much a splendor? So because the temple is so splendorous, then they are simply saying that the gate also has great splendor. Or could it be that the gate is called beautiful because it is, as the Greeks have connotated, it is the right time of day? Now, the time that we are zeroing in, the time that we are introduced to the gate that is called beautiful, is actually 3 p.m. in our time. The Bible describes it as the ninth hour. The first hour is 6 a.m. The third hour is 9 a.m. Thus, the sixth hour is 12 noon. The ninth hour is 3 p.m. So it's the ninth hour, 3 o'clock p.m. in our time, Acts 2 and verse 41. Then they gladly received the word. This is what happens at 3 in the evening. I want you to look at Acts 2:41. They gladly received the word, they were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Look at verse number 42 in Acts chapter 2. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship with them. They continued in the breaking of bread, and what's the last thing they did? They continued in prayer. So 3 p.m. is significant to what the apostles are doing because prayer is a part of their daily tradition. They're at the temple that is called Beautiful at a specific time because they are continuing now as apostles, instructing people that we ought to pray, and we should pray consistently, persistently, and we should pray on a scheduled time together, collectively, at the temple. It is a Jewish tradition, as you understand. The prophet Abraham started the first tradition, and he introduced what is called the Sacri. That's the third hour prayer, 9 a.m. Abraham prayed at 9 a.m., the Sacri. It was Isaac that came along for the sixth hour prayer, which is 12 noon. It was called the Mincha. Now we have Abraham's 9 a.m. prayer, Isaac's 12 noon prayer called the Mincha, and finally there is Jacob who came along with the ninth hour prayer, 3 p.m. It is called the Mariv. Abraham, the Sacri, Isaac, the Mincha, and Jacob, the Mariv. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, 9 a.m., 12 noon, and 3 p.m. is all significant. These, the fathers, the prophets of our faith, have introduced us to a prayer life. Early morning prayer, midday prayer, and an evening prayer. To us now in our faith and as Christians, prayer is just like Folgers. It's the best part of waking up. Prayer was the best part of every believer's day. I'm not so much, I can't even call the name of the most favorite coffee shop right now. Somebody help me here, toss it at me. I'm not a Starbucks guy, but I am a Folgers guy. I that's the best part of waking up that gets me going. But something prior to my Folgers is my prayer. It's the best part of not only a day, but it's the best part of every day. Now, in the text, you have to consider now, if prayer is at 9 a.m., 12 noon, and 3 p.m., depending on where you lived and how far you live from the temple, you might spend all day either on your way from prayer or on your way to prayer. Because there's only 3 hours between 9 and noon and between noon and 3. So if you lived at some distance, considering that you didn't have an automobile or you didn't have some beast to ride, after 9 a.m., you might just go ahead and hang around the temple. Because 3 hours from now, I'm going to be not praying the Sacri, but I'm going to be praying in the Mincha. And then if I stay from noon and decide to run home, I'd have to come back at 3 p.m. because I have a discipline to praying. Now imagine, now, just for a minute, just to just enlighten you and get you involved in this text, if on your job you demanded, based on your relationship with God and your faith and your religion, what they called it, that you told them the only way I can keep my job is that you let me pray at 9 a.m., at 12 noon, and 3 p.m., you would be on SNAPs. You would be getting food stamps. You would be on welfare. Because this time that we live in is not going to give you space to pray 3 times a day. Matter of fact, you really don't have time to pray any time at all unless you pray on your lunch break. So you see now that for them, prayer was so important. 9 a.m., 12 noon, and 6 p.m. And here we have this place of prayer that is entered into by a gate that is called Beautiful. And prayer makes the time and the season right. So can I attach now, by your permission, prayer to the gate and say that the reason that this gate is so beautiful, because there's no place like prayer. You can be in a whirlwind of trouble, and prayer puts a shift in the atmosphere. Is it all right if I say that? Is it all right so that since I won't ever go to Jerusalem and I won't ever behold the beautiful gates, is it all right for me in Priceville, Alabama, to say that I have a gateway that is called prayer? And I can just enter into that gate at any time, and it is the right place always at the right time. Because when trouble is on every hand, when I can't do anything else, you can't stop me from praying. I don't have to posture myself upon my knees. I don't have to turn to any specific geographical direction, the east, the west, the north, or the south. I can just stand right where I am. I can lift up holy hands without lifting up physical hands. And I can shout unto the Lord, Lord, I thank you for one more day. I'm trying to build something here. I'm trying to let you know that prayer is just a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Prayer makes wrong things right. And prayer makes any time the right time. Have you ever in your life had an experience when all you could do was just, you couldn't do anything else? Have you ever in the spur of a moment, when things are right on the edge, as an accident is about to present itself into your reality, and all you could get out of your mouth, you couldn't say, now, Lord, all you could say was just Jesus. Sometimes that's the most powerful prayer. When all you can get out is just, Lord. You don't have a chance to say, have mercy. All you can say is just, Lord. Have you ever been in a position where all you could get out is just Jesus? And it's one of the most powerful prayers that you've ever prayed before in your life. The apostles and all the rest of the temple, all of the goers to the temple each day, the Bible says that they went three times a day. And three times a day, every day, the temple goers would see an impotent man sitting at the gate. They would pass a broken man going into the gate. Are y'all here with me? Now, the man didn't get there on his own ability. He couldn't get there on his own dependency, but he was independent. He was unable to get himself to a good place. He was unable to get himself to the place that was a seasonal, right time place. But the Bible says that he had to be carried there. Are you with me? And once he was carried there, he would stay there all day. Are you hearing me, Eddie? Now, look here as we read the text. In order for him to be there for the 9 o'clock prayer goers, you had to get him there before 9 a.m. Because if you got him there after they were already in, he would not be able to beg of them alms and their charity. So if you were going to drop the beggar off, you had to drop him off at least before the 9th hour so that he could get a full day of begging. Is this all right? He needed all day so that his cup could be full, possibly running over. But you had to get him there before 9 a.m. Now, let me let your imagination start working with you now. And y'all got some wild imaginations. As a matter of fact, bring your mind on back in the church house now while you're wandering everywhere, thinking about everything that you can't work out. Let me let your imagination work right here. Can you imagine what life would be like if someone had to carry you everywhere you went? That's what I need you to do. I need you to right now just work on it. Now, you don't have any strength in your ankles, nothing in your legs. And if you get anywhere, no wheelchairs. No, you've got to be carried everywhere you go. Can you imagine that the only way that you could survive is to be carried to a place to beg? Imagine that. Come on, work with it now. Work with the imagination of having to be carried somewhere to beg. Why do you have to carry me somewhere to beg? Because if you don't beg, then you don't eat. And you wouldn't have clothes on your back. It's because begging is the way that you take possession of food and clothes, sustenance and necessities. Everything you need in life has to come by begging. And it's solely dependent upon you begging. While you say you ain't gonna beg nobody for nothing, imagine the only way that you could eat was to beg. And begging is predicated on someone carrying you. Can you imagine that? Better yet, let me give you something else to imagine. Have you ever carried anyone? I'm talking to y'all. I'm not talking about like pick them up. Like my grandbabies that have surprised me in this house today. Picking them up. Have you ever carried anyone? Not like picking them up, but have you ever carried anyone, like delivered someone up to become someone else's responsibility? I didn't hear nothing. In other words, you're bothered with them long enough, like a baton in a relay race. You put up with them long enough until you can put them off on somebody else. In other words, lose my number. Let me give you somebody else's number to call. Call them all day, every day. Don't text me, text them. Have you ever carried anyone whereby you pay your dues and then when you feel like you paid your debt, then you get them out of your sight by passing them on to anybody, somebody else? I can't hear y'all today. I don't know. Maybe y'all texting. I don't know what y'all doing, but don't sound like you're listening to me, because that sound like a moment that somebody ought to say amen, even if they're guilty of it. You've carried someone to a point that you pass them on. Huh? Remember what Cain said? Cain made it clear with God, and he made it clear with everyone else. He said, am I my brother's keeper? Is it my day to have to keep up with Abel? This is after God asked him explicitly and precisely. He said, and I quote, where is Abel thy brother? That's what God said. Where is Abel thy brother? In other words, Genesis 4:9, at God's question, query of Cain, he's simply saying, where did you drop your brother off? Where? In other words, I'm not asking you, did you feel like being responsible for him? What I'm saying is, somebody has dropped Abel off. And by me asking you, it doesn't mean that I don't know where he is. But I want you to know that I know that you had to do with wherever he ended up. Are you responsible for where some folk have ended up? Talk back to me. Are you responsible for where your brother have ended up? Now, I'm not saying that, and let me make this clear right here, that we are held under some spiritual mandate to carry people. I'm not saying that. Somebody say back to me, you're not saying that. You're not under some spiritual mandate to run around and just carry folks. Don't get this message twisted. But what I do want to make sure that you are sure of is that they should never be left without prayer. No one should ever be left without prayer. Did y'all catch what I said? I did not say that you were under some spiritual directive, that God left you responsible for carrying everybody around on your back, carrying everybody around on your dime, having to be responsible for them when they eat and when they are clothed. I didn't say that. Somebody talked back to me. He didn't say that. But I do want you to know that when you bear one another up and you share in the burdens, you ought to always keep your brother in prayer. Where is he? I don't know where he is, but I know where he's been. He has been in my prayer. Oh, you don't have to take my word for it. Take your own Bible. Look in Luke 22 and verse 32. Jesus told his disciples, I have prayed for you. Now, you are not going to keep me here. I'm going to leave you here. But I'm going to leave you here with a prayer. And I know that the prayer that I pray over you will keep the wicked one from ever taking control over you. Somebody say there's power in prayer. Now, if Jesus can leave me physically, but still encapsulize and encompass me in prayer, then that means, Kenyon, my brother, you don't have to be at 2306 in order for me to provide for you. But I've got a prayer that I can pray that will let you have your own numbers at your own address in your own house. And you don't have to be at my house, but I've got a prayer that I can pray that will make you get up and go to work when you don't feel like going to work. I had a mother that prayed for me like that. Lord, when she said, keep Don, she didn't mean keep him at my address. She meant keep him in your care. And the same way you did for me, I'm preaching in here, and you don't even have to say amen. He says, Jesus says, I'm going to pray for you, and when you are converted, I want you to strengthen your brother. Now, I need you to tell Tack to pray for them. And then Tack, you tell them to pray for them. And then I need a witness in this house. If everybody is praying for somebody, then everybody in here is standing under God's care. The beggar is at the gate called Beautiful. I'm almost finished. In the text, the gate that is called Beautiful is a perfect example of those who have been carried and dropped off at a good place. Can I leave that? Is that all right? The beggar that is at the gate called Beautiful is one of the perfect examples this morning for this sermon. To say he represents those who are carried and dropped off at a good place. Oh yeah. He was begging daily at the gate. He had a chronic condition. We're never told his name. Just beggar. We're told a lot about his condition, but never told his name. How much do you know about him? I'll tell you. I know that he's called just a certain man. Never told a name, but I'm told that he's lame. Told he's a certain man. Don't know his name, but I know he was born with it. Called a certain man. I don't know his name, but I know his feet don't work. Man at the gate, don't know his name, but I know he's a certain man. His ankles don't work. I'm told a lot about his condition, but I don't even know his name. Can I come in 2021? Sometimes your name is not what's important. All people know you by is your condition. Isn't it a sad thing when folk don't know your name, but they know what you're going through? Can I preach in this house today? Isn't it something that people can't call you by your name, but as soon as they hear your condition mentioned, they know who you're talking about? Have you ever been in a room and you just started talking about conditions and you heard somebody say, I know who you're talking about? You don't know Barbara by her name, but you know she the woman that can't keep a husband. You don't know Larry by his name, but you know he's the one that can't keep a job. You don't know Felicia by her name, but you know she's the one that's been divorced 3 times. You don't know Cameron by his name, but you know he's the one that still lives at his mama's house. Y'all don't hear me? I got a whole lot of folk that's listening to my voice today. People don't know your name like Michael Jackson, but they sure know you by your condition. Y'all not hearing me here? We could actually have a popular game show in our modern churches today. You want to know the name of that game show? Guess whose condition this is? Ain't ever got no money. Every time you go out to eat, they want you to pay for it. Ain't never had a car. Everywhere they go, they begging for a ride. I don't know what your condition is, but people can know your name, not know your name, but know your condition. Oh, give me a minute, Brandon. You see, we're not told his name, but we're given his condition. And it's totally argumentative now. And I want to put this in what the state of the beggar's emotions are. I thought that this is important because in this day and time when depression is pressing upon us, where we're dealing with anxiety in measures as I am, I think it's a good time to look at his emotional condition. Is this man that's a beggar sad? Is he mad? Is he glad? Well, I don't see him sad. I don't think he's mad. I don't even really believe that the man is glad. But what I do want to introduce you to is something that is not emotions. It can't be identified as an emotion. It's separate from emotions, but it is a sensory that is experienced like an emotion. And what I see is called pain. Y'all didn't hear me. That was your shouting point right there. What I see is pain. Why do you see pain? Because you can see a person's emotional disposition. Smiling, I'm happy. Frowning, I'm sad or mad. But they cannot see your pain. Is there anybody that's listening to me today that can give me an expression of pain? What does pain look like? Happy, I see that, Brandon. Sad, I see that, Tracy. Glad, I see that, Alana. But how do I express my pain? I need somebody to resound me that you cannot tell from the outside a person's pain level. Even medical doctors have to ask you on a scale of 1 to 10. How is your pain level? I can't see it on your face. So I need you to tell me in detail, how do you feel? So now it says that this beggar, now that I describe as a man that is in pain, the Bible says that one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. Are y'all with me now? And the text says that he looked upon Peter and John. And Peter and John were not able to determine whether this man were happy, sad, or mad. Give me a minute. But the text says that he looked on them with a look of expectation. Did y'all hear me? Now, he looks at them expecting to receive something. And when you've been begging a long time, you just kind of go, no. In other words, either you got something or you don't. Now, he was expecting to receive one thing, but it looks like he got another thing. And it looks like he was expecting to receive the same old thing, which is what everybody before had given him. But he got something that was better than what he expected. Sometimes God avoids your expectations so that he can exceed your expectations. Sometimes you ask God for one thing, but because he is a God that will do exceeding abundant. Oh, Lord, I'm in my zone now. Abundant above all that you ask or think. He does not respond to what you ask, but he gives you above, exceeding, abundant and above. Sometime God will overrule what you ask him for to show you that he is a God that is more than enough. Wait a minute now. You see, let me talk to somebody. You've been living on a full cup so long that you're just accustomed to living out of what's called necessity. I would I had a cup. Because you're working with whatever is in the cup. So you're working out of necessity. So you make every little sip that you got like it's your last sip. And every time you sip out of that cup, you look down to see how much you have left. Oh, Lord. So a whole lot of our lives, this is my wife's cup now. We're living life just like this. Sip then, look. How much do I have left? Oh, Lord. How many of y'all got paid last Friday? You deposited then, you look. You sip then, you look. Oh, Lord. So now you're working out of necessity. Because this is all that I have. But God says, let me work with you just a little while. Instead of you living by what's inside that cup, let me stop you from looking in it. And the only way I can do that is to make the cup run over. Surely my cup is running over now. So I have no need to look into my necessities. Why? Because God is more than enough. That's a shouting point. You didn't ask God to own your own business. When you were 16 years old, you didn't say, Cassandra, Lord, one day I want to be an owner of my own business. But what you prayed was, is, Lord, just give me something for to provide for my family. You didn't ask God to give the home of your dreams. You just asked him to put a roof over your head. You didn't ask God. Lord, God, let me have 60, 70, and 80 years of life. Now, look at you, 70 some years old. But what did you pray? You said, Lord, just take care of me. Oh, Lord. So I need somebody in this room today to say, I didn't pray, but God gave it. And what God gave me, it exceeds what I prayed for. So God didn't give you what you expected, but he dealt with what's beyond your expectations. Can somebody say yes? Oh, yes. And I don't care how long you've been waiting. Oh, Lord. I don't care if you've been sitting there for 10 years. Your healing is on its way. Oh, Lord. I don't care if you've been waiting through husband after husband, friend after friend. Your moment is on its way. Now tell somebody you're in the right place at the right time. Now I need you to point at somebody and say, you have not missed your moment. Am I right about it? The beggar was there daily for a long time. I need a witness in here. I've been waiting for a long time, but they that wait upon the Lord. Oh, yes. I need somebody in this section to get yourself in a posture of I'm ready for God to pour out on me. Am I right about it? You've been going through long enough that everybody know you're going through. Am I right about it? You've been at the gate every day. Oh, yes. But I need you to know something about sitting at the gates. There are three things that must be met while you're at the gates. You've got to be in the right place. It's got to be the right time. And you got to be confronted by the right people. Do y'all hear me? Bring me a chair, Eddie. I've got to sit down for this. Get me a chair up here. What did I say? You got to have the right place. You've got to have the right time.
and you got to be around the right people. Thank you, sir. That's my chair. I'm about to sit in my chair and about to beg. Do y'all hear me? Oh, yes. Now I'm sitting here and I've been dropped off by Harry and Luella. Lord, take care of Don. Oh, Lord, take care of my boy. Take care of Don. I got dropped off. Mama left me in 2007. Daddy left me in 1968. But they dropped me off in a good place that's called prayer. Oh, yes. It's a beautiful place. It's a marvelous place. Do y'all hear me? And I've been sitting here for a long time. Oh, yes. I've been sitting here long enough for in Luke 2 and 39 for Jesus to be on his way into the temple, but he never looked at me. He went in the temple, he turned over tables, oh yes, but he never saw me. Oh yes, I'm sitting here and Jesus came back yet another time in the temple when he was a little boy, and my Joseph and Mary lost him. He went in the temple and I saw him go in. He argued with the doctors and the lawyers. He came out, but he never looked at me. And I'm just sitting here. You feel like that Jesus is just passing you by. But did not I say it's got to be the right time and the right place, and it's got to be the right people. Y'all don't hear me? Wait a minute. I've got to get my preach right here. The right people. So Jesus, if you pass me by, you went in to turn over tables. You went in to argue with the doctors and the lawyers. Why didn't you see about Don? That's because I've got two boys, one named Peter and another named John. Didn't I tell you, you got to be careful how you treat people, because God may be sending a Peter and a John while you're sitting there and you're begging, take me up just one. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, and while he sat there, the Bible says that two of Jesus' boys that had been taught to have compassion, they told the beggar, look on us. Oh, yes. But the beggar said, what can you do that Jesus have not done? But Peter and John said, silver and gold, silver and gold, I don't have none. My pocket is empty. I ran into a whole lot of folk that couldn't help me. But wait a minute. God had the right people at the right time. Y'all don't hear me? Oh, yes. And when God got ready to bless Don, the devils in hell couldn't hold it back. Do y'all hear me? I had to wait until I got 50-some years old to know what it felt like to be the head and not the tail. I had to wait until I was 60 to be the first and not the last. I had to wait until I got 70 years old to know what it was like to come in with my cup running over. Somebody say yes. But right now, right now, right now, the God that I serve, he's doing exceeding. I'll shut y'all. He's doing abundance above all I could ask or think. Now somebody trying to figure out, and they saying, why didn't you have this when I was there? Why didn't you have that when I was there? Because it wasn't the right time. it wasn't the right place. I wasn't around the right people. But if you keep on hanging on, tell your neighbor, don't give up. Don't give up. Tell your neighbor, don't give up. Tell your neighbor, you're next. How does he deal with it? How does he deal with it? He deals with it by putting things in order. How does he deal with it? I don't hear you. You're asking God for stuff that you're not even ready for yet. You see, what I like about the beggar is this. Number one, he never missed being picked up to being brought to the place of prayer. Because I don't know which day. I know there's going to be a day. I don't know which day. But I know there's a day coming. And that's what I want to go back and I want to tell my children again. I don't know which day, Gloria. But there is a day that God is going to come in and he's going to give you double for all that you've had to deal with. Silver and gold, can I talk about that for a minute? The beggar had plenty of that. As a matter of fact, the beggar had more of that than some of the people that were putting it in. Why? It's because he sat there every day. But what you've given me can't make me whole. Huh? We get in relationships expecting what somebody else has to make us whole. Nobody else have what it takes to make you whole. What it takes to make you whole is inside of you. You can't make me whole. I can't make you whole. What makes you whole has to be inside of you. And you can't look other places. Silver and gold have we none. And even if we did have it, I hear you, Peter and John. Even if we did have it, it's not going to help you be made whole. We can't buy our children out. Somebody say amen. You can't buy them out. You can't give them gifts to get them out. Oh, I need somebody talking back to me. Material things don't make our kids better. Silver and gold, we ain't got none. Sometimes we make an already bad situation worse because we're trying to make something material take care of something that has to be dealt with in a different way. I just want to just take this time to close this one. I ain't got no money. We ain't got no money. But what we have, we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Eddie, what he did was is he reached out his right hand and he picked him up. And it says immediately. Immediately. Now, you know what that tells me? Nobody else that went in that temple had the ability to do what Peter and John had to do. And I'm trying to tell somebody in this room today, you are working out of a greater power than you really know that you have. God have placed within you power to speak over your family members. He has given you power to speak over your family members. Didn't y'all hear me talk about what Harry and Luella did? You don't realize that their prayers today is a prayer that you can't even pray. They put in a prayer that God's going to fulfill, that's going to be met. And when I call names of those that are going on, I'm not trying to
break up some sorrow, to get a cry out of you. I'm trying to tell you some reality. There's some stuff that Melvin prayed. There's some stuff that Joanne prayed that's going to keep you praying. The days that you want to give up, and I'm not saying this to make you sad, babe. I'm saying this because this is what you need to know. She prayed some stuff that's going to give you that go ahead when you want to quit. How many of y'all wanted to quit over the last 2 weeks? You want to just throw your head, you want to just quit. Just want to just quit. What do you think keeps you going? The same thing that kept that beggar coming back every day until God put all of the pieces together. The right place, beautiful. The right time, beautiful. And the right people, Peter and John. Now, can I talk about the right people for just one more second? Y'all may have missed it, and then I have to come at the end because I'd be hooping and y'all miss it. Jesus, if the text is correct, and it's correct, Jesus passed that man twice, once as a kid and once as an adult. You know when they couldn't find Jesus? Mary and Joseph. Where was he? Where was he? Now, the only way you get in the temple is to go through the what? The gate. And the man was put there when? Every day. Jesus walked right past. Now, it's not because he didn't ask, but it's because it wasn't the right time, the right place, and it wasn't the right people. I'm trying to let somebody get this right here. Are you in a place right now? How many in here can just bear witness to this? You got a blessing from somebody and you ain't figured out yet why somebody just decided to bless you. You got a blessing, you ain't figured out yet why they bless you. Or somebody right now is just being kind to you. You can't figure out why they're being kind to you. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, he grew in stature, right? Physically he grew, but also he grew in favor. Tell your neighbor you need to grow in favor with God and with men. With God and with men. I see nothing but favor. God bless you. I look forward to seeing all of those that have joined us here this week, next week. I pray that you've been blessed. I pray that the word of God will bless you here. I pray that it's moved you to go on and go on and go on. God is waiting on you to move on to the next level. Come on and clap your hands today. Come on, you can do better than that. Clap your hands today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isn't God just a wonderful God? He's an awesome God. He's a wonderful God. He's a mighty God. Somebody say, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just want to pray before I leave today. I want to have this word of prayer. I'm just feeling it. I was just waiting in my spirit to just know. I know there's something. But God wants me to pray today. There's someone that's in this room. And there's someone that's still with us live. And you want a special prayer. You're saying, I'm sitting there. I know and I hear you, preacher. And I'm sitting here and I'm waiting for the Lord to send the right person. I want you to know today in this prayer that they're on their way. God says to you, hold on and hold out. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh Lord our God, we're praying that somebody that is hearing me right now, my sister and my brother, oh God, that they just keep that same determination and that same expectation. That God, that they know beyond the shadow of all doubt that you care about them. And that God, that they are waiting is not a wait as in time, but their wait is a principle of binding with you, being atoned with you, at one with you. And oh God, you are right now in and working in the process of them being made whole. Do now, oh God, for them. Do for them as you, God, only can. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Work, God, miraculously in their life. work supernaturally in their life. We know, God, that you're able to do the exceeding. You're able to do the abundant beyond all that we could ask or think. Do it now, O Lord, my God. Lift my brother up. Lift my sister up. Let them know, God, that you care. You care for them. In the name of Jesus. And I call all of them blessed. I call them blessed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on and clap your hands. Looking forward to seeing you next week. Right here. Looking forward to seeing you right here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As we make ready to give in this house, and you that are listening still with us are giving, we thank you for your gifts. We thank you for your love. As we're ready to give, amen.
How many came to bless them tonight? The song says, I praise you forever. Regardless of our circumstance, regardless of what we're going through, I praise you forever in our mouth.
Lord, you are the air I breathe. Lord, you are the song I sing. I present a sacrifice of praise. Your love is so wonderful. It's amazing how you shed your blood and on the third day rose again. With my hands lifted up, Lord, I will yield myself to you. You deserve the glory. I surrender.